Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
I know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
And it is time for us, this weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton, top 100 teacher. Jeff Smith is with us, along with repeat visitor, guest.
Don Rickles.
James Hong is with us. Hey, I heard a quick story about Don Rickles. He did a show one day, and a guy came to him and said that some big mobster from New York was in the audience, so don't make fun of him. So he did. He went out and made fun of him.
Yeah.
Kept going and going. At the end of the show, the mobster came up to him, told him he had a great time, loved the show, and invited him to come to dinner with him. Don turned it down. That night, the mobster was shot at dinner.
Wow. I heard that story. Yep.
Yeah. So if Rickles had gone,
yep,
that would have been the end of Don Rickles. Let's talk about golf.
Why not?
The Masters is over, which means it's like, gentlemen, start your engines. The season has begun.
Everywhere. You know, we're all off to the races, dude. We're all off to the races.
Yeah, you don't have to live in Florida or Arizona to play golf now. Basically, everybody can. Except my poor friends in New England who still have snow to shovel.
Gee, that's too bad.
And they asked me why I moved out of Maine. That's why. Man. But anyhow, some people I've been reading, there's this cool website I found called the Seniors Who Golf on Facebook. It's a nice group. And everybody's complaining about how wet it is. I got 18 in, but it was sloggy and wet and muddy and car path only. But I think
where we got a ton of rain. I think we got about 25% rain in March of our total year's rainfall from last year.
Wow.
Just in March alone.
Has it drained off yet?
It's unreal.
Still cart path only in place.
It's still draining. I mean, we couldn't even open the driving range, and we couldn't open our executive course for about 2 weeks. I took pictures of it. Like half of our range was literally a lake.
Oof.
Ooh, yuck.
That is not fun.
Floaters. Get some floater balls.
Baby.
You know, interestingly enough, right? So it's beginning to, the season down here in South Florida beginning to wind down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down
to
about,
too hot.
Yeah. I'm beginning to get about 8 a day now instead of 10 to 12.
Okay.
And so people are starting to leave, starting to, you know, the snowbirds are starting to fly north a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadians are starting to go, you know, kind of like the geese.
Uh-huh.
And you know they're migratory birds.
Yes, right? Indeed.
But it was interesting. I got to give an interesting lesson late this afternoon. So one of the people that I work with, you know, down here in South Florida, they got these big high rise buildings, you know, stuck on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like not a bad thing to look down upon, right?
Right.
Gulf of Mexico, looking around. So my last lesson of the day, I'm at this guy's place on the 18th floor of this thing. And he's got a simulator and he's got this wonderful view. Like he's looking out down over one of the ninth hole of the Bay Island course of Bonita Bay and looking out over the Estero Bay and the beach of the Gulf of Mexico. And he's in there in his place hitting golf balls. And I'm like, okay, I think I'll come here and give a golf lesson every day. Every day.
Got to rent some space from the dude.
Last time we went out on the golf course, and he goes, yeah, it's too hot. Next time we do this, we're just going to go in my place. I'm like, okay.
So that the simulators are equal and sufficient to give you everything you need to mimic a real.
They are. Golf. I mean, the guy's got the setup. He's got the full GC quad thing going. Okay. You know, he's got everything he needs. He's standing up there ripping drivers and in his living room.
Not too shabby. You ever hit off the balcony into the golf?
I didn't ask him that. I'm sure the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I decided not to ask.
Let's check out my club face control.
Yeah, right. Let's make sure my trajectory control is good, because you know all those balconies, they have glass panels on the under the rails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not gonna push that. But that was pretty interesting. This is a pretty interesting afternoon.
One of the things that I've been hearing a lot, and I actually played on Master Sunday and started, whether or not I was just emulating some of the stuff I had read or not, but one of the biggest complaints I'm seeing on this Seniors Who Golf website is guys have lost distance and they're complaining about it. It's like, ever since I turned X, I just can't hit the ball anymore. Now, I found that I was hitting my driver the same distance I normally hit it and as straight as I normally hit it. Same thing with the fairway woods and the hybrids. But I pulled out my irons and I could hit my 5 better than I ever did, hit my 6 wonderfully. 7, 8, and 9 didn't go anywhere. It's like, what have I forgotten?
Can we assume that you're hitting it in the middle of the face?
Yes.
Can we assume that it's going very high?
Yeah. In retrospect, it probably did go higher than it should have. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a possibility, a distinct possibility, that you might be adding an awful lot of loft. That's possible. If they launch high and float a lot, answer is probably you're adding loft a little bit. You hit it in the middle of the face.
Okay. I was playing with a guy, first time I had ever met him, and he was doing some of those things that you've talked about where people do, where they try to assist the ball to get up in the air. You could see his entire body kind of moving to get it up in the air as he struck the ball.
Hoist it off the ground?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that always works.
Yeah,
I highly recommend that. That always works every time I watch it try. On my lesson tee, or especially in the short game shots, it's unbelievable how well that really works.
There's that sarcasm oozing from every pore in his body. But
James is on the show. He brings it out in me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, is there any, I know you can't, without watching me, you can't tell me exactly, but is there any one thing that most people do that adds loft when they're not trying to or not thinking about it?
Yeah, there's something that I see quite often. When the player doesn't really turn their chest forward through the shot, the hands just send the club down and the shaft winds up being very vertical at impact.
Okay.
And there's an awful lot of loft added when I see that. James, what do you see?
Yeah, I think in conjunction with that, sometimes what happens is we're getting older is we're just not as fast or as mobile as we used to be. And we don't notice it. Or what we're saying is, boy, I'm really stiff today. Boy, I don't know, I got out of bed really tight this morning or whatever it is. And so all of a sudden that's what happens is we just don't turn through like we did when we were in our 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's more the case with the better golfer, the experienced golfer who it's because they're just not feeling it anymore. They're just not moving anymore. All of a sudden the hands just take over and flip the club through.
Yeah. I caught myself doing that a couple of times. You think it might have anything to do with the fact that my knee was killing me by about hole 13? Yep.
I think so. You know, you're trying to find different ways to compensate for that lack of movement. So you're snapping the leg or you're doing something incorrectly. And so I think sometimes it might be as simple as, did you have a good warm up? And people are always like, yeah, I warmed up. No, they didn't warm up. You know, they hit 5 balls and they think that's a warm up. It's being able to warm up properly if your club has somebody in-house, like a good physio that can help you do something, or maybe not in the moment that you're about to play, but give you a plan. It's like, do this for 10 minutes and that'll help you warm up a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one possibility.
Yeah. I have to try that. Or just FaceTime Jeff and say, Jeff, what am I doing wrong? He wouldn't mind.
Depends on the time of day. You know?
Yeah.
Depends on the time of day. Do it around dinner time when I got a pizza in front of me. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
You take Cash App or PayPal, man?
I sure do. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, right? Somehow, some way.
Yeah. Now it was a great day. I mean, you didn't feel like, at least here, it didn't feel like you were stealing a round of golf and had to get it in real quick before the weather changed. You know?
I think that the people that are in the Midwest and the Northeast, and they're finally like, oh, it is good now. James just started teaching outside now, I think. Isn't that right?
Yep. This week was the first week outdoors.
That's about the same every year, isn't it, James? Isn't that kind of predictable for you?
Yeah, actually, this year it was a little bit later just because I was at an indoor place, so I was getting a little lazy with it. Generally, it's a little bit earlier because the golf course would tell me, we're going to be opening up the third week of March, so you got to clean up that building that you were using over the winter. So I'd have to be out of there by like March 21st or so because of the golf course being open. But this year, I didn't have to do any of that, so I kept teaching until now.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like I said, this Masters weekend usually is what signals the beginning of the golf season for everybody.
Yeah.
So, and it's over. It's
and even
books.
even this past week, it's like, I only taught outdoors two of the days.
Yeah.
The other 4 days I was still indoors at that facility.
Yeah. It was beautiful though. Again, but we have our days. I mean, again, it's almost 80 today. Going to be almost 80 tomorrow. And then I believe it's like 57 on Wednesday and Thursday with rain. So
same here. Yep. Goes back down to 57 on Wednesday and 51 on Thursday.
Yeah. We're still into the very,
but I have
stuff.
An indoor place.
Right. Good thing you got that right.
But we are coming up to summer break. We are coming up to the time when you want to get your kids out of the house. And maybe you should take them and drop them off at a golf course somewhere. And let's talk about that when we come right back. You're all those weekend golf guys. You need to hang out with us.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
And we are back, those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. James Hong, our guest, he's been here before. He's here again. A good friend of Jeff Smith, top 100 teacher in a golf magazine. And kids, you got it. You can send them to summer camp, get them out of your hair, or you can take them to golf camp. Maybe create somebody you can play golf with in a year or two down the road, just a little bit.
Yep.
You know, James is one of the best in the country that we've got on, you know, child development and, you know, running a lot of these camps. And he does amazing things out there. No matter what the age of the kid, he's got something for him. And, you know, there's a development a way to go about developing kids that is really good. And a lot of things are based in fun. They're based in challenges. They're based in camaraderie and learning with each other while having fun. James is the king of that. James, tell me a little bit about some of the things that you've really succeeded with in these junior golf camps.
Yeah, I think as far as what we do, and I think any golf instructor that's looking to create a successful program for kids, it's you have to look at it in terms of if you were a parent, what would you want your child to get out of your program? So it could be anything. It could be, hey, I just want my child to have a good time. I just want them to come back and say they had fun. They enjoyed it. They don't have to be the next Scotty Scheffler or Tiger Woods. I just want them to come back and say they loved it. They had a good time. Other times it's like, well, you know, I want them to be able to play, kind of get around the course. Would love to eventually have a playing partner in my kids and our family. So it all depends on not just what the child wants, but what the family wants. But if you can think of it in terms of a parent, what is it that they want? And I'm not talking about the parent who says my kid is like really special or something. I'm talking about just the average parent who's looking for something for their child. You can create a good program just thinking of it in that manner. And that's really what we do here is we have programs where let's say we're talking about the beginners. It's what are we trying to teach them? And of course, they're kids, so the attention span is not going to be very long. What we're teaching them is not going to be very much in depth. It's just an introduction, but we keep it short and we keep it easy to remember for them to do. But the other thing that we also do is we play skills competitions that emphasize whatever it is that we were just teaching them. So immediately they're grasping what's the reason why they were doing what they were doing for the last 10, 15, 20 minutes. And they, when we're putting it in a competitive atmosphere in a game, and the kids go back saying, yeah, we played this game, we did this, we had a lot of fun doing that. Hey, I made a hole in one. That hole in one really was maybe they made a 10-foot putt in one shot, mm-hmm. but at least they're going home and saying, I made a hole in one.
Right. Do you use golf equipment to begin with, or do you use the plastic stuff that a lot of the junior golf gurus have been preaching that it's the way to start?
Yeah, we use real golf clubs. We use okay. U.S. kids golf clubs. So the smallest size is like 41, 42 inches. And when I say 41, 42 inches, I'm talking about the height of the child.
Right.
So it's fit accordingly to that person.
Okay. How many times do you get a kid whose parents really want him to be there, but he really could care less?
You get that, you know, pretty frequently. Yeah. But I think what happens in those circumstances is that if you as the coach are kind of very embracing of the child in terms of we want you here, they kind of pick up on that very quickly. And I think sometimes it's a reflection on maybe who they visited in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they went to somebody for a lesson and that person just treated it like they were teaching an adult instead of teaching that child. And so they just kind of found it boring or they just didn't like the experience.
Yeah. Now you say you use the U.S. kids stuff. Do the kids not have to have their own equipment to participate?
Oh, if they have their own, yeah. Parents ask that all the time. It's like they have their own clubs. Should they bring them? And I always say, bring them to the camp, and the instructors will determine if it's the right size for them.
Okay.
And sometimes we tell them, yeah, they're too small. Sometimes we definitely find clubs that are way too big. We definitely find clubs that are way too heavy for them.
Yeah.
Especially clubs that are cut down, like, oh, it's grandpa's old set from 1973. It's like, nah, stick them in the ground and grow some tomatoes in the backyard, but don't hit balls with them.
You know, I've run a fair number of junior golf camps myself, and you know, I find that there's a real value in keeping kids with the same, let's say, level of maturity and size together. You know, and a lot of that goes directly with age, but we all know that some kids are, you know, physically more matured, but certainly not emotionally more matured than mm-hmm. others. James, when you set your camps up, and you have certain age ranges, so to speak, when you do that, are you setting that up just because of the basic general skill level and physical development level, or are you doing it for more of an emotional and level of maturity so that they match with the other kids? Where are you setting that up? What's your premise there?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, but if you're talking about, let's say, our introductory programs, summer camps, for example, it says 6 to 9 year olds, but that doesn't mean a 6 year old or the 9 year old. And when we get, let's say, 18 kids signing up for the program, we are grouping them within probably a year to a year and a half of each other. And sometimes when they show up, we'll notice that there may be 1 6-year-old and 1 6.5-year-old, but the 6-year-old is this tall and the 6.5-year-old is this tall, or it might be even the other way around, which mm-hmm. we've had. And so what we're keeping an eye on is that size differential, for example, representative of the group that the child should be in. And if it isn't, then it's no problem. Like I remember this very clearly. We had one girl who was 7 years old and was 5'4", 5'5". And it's like, she could almost look me right in the eye. And I kept looking at her application form going, wait a minute, she's how old? She's 7. And the weird thing was her sister was 6, and they both were in the camp. And her sister, like I said, the 7-year-old was up to here, and the 6-year-old was like what a 6-year-old would normally look like in terms of height. And so what I did was I had her stay with her age group, and she was very comfortable with her age group. She didn't mind being taller than everyone by almost a full head. So that was okay.
Used to that tool.
Yeah. So she didn't have a problem with it, but we do keep an eye on that. And I've gone up to kids and just kind of whispered in there and say, listen, if you want to be in a different group, just let me know and I can switch you. Don't worry about it. And it's nice because even younger kids, they look at you and they appreciate the fact that you even said something like to them. They're like, oh, okay, no problem. Thanks. So,
but, you know, there's
but
a
we
reason.
Do that. Now, yeah, getting thinking, on what you're saying, the more experienced kids, they respect skills, so they don't care what the age difference is. If a child shows that they're playing, that they can play, that they have some ability, they're not going like, oh, that kid's like 4 years younger than me. They want to play with whoever that it's good.
Yeah, so that's something that I've seen as well, is that, you know, you put them and you give them challenges and you give them some skills games. And, you know, you could subdivide some people just based on their skills, like which two of these kids would best be suited for development by putting them with each other based on skill level. Because if you had somebody at the, you know, let's say you got this 6 to 9 group where you didn't let some, you know, 4-year-old kid in or somebody who's not quite yet 4. And, you know, because they physically couldn't keep up, right? They just couldn't. But what if you got kids that are within their appropriate age group? And then you got a couple of them that seem to be a little bit more skill developed than the others. And so you wouldn't want to take the person who had not yet developed their skill, that's even with the same age group, put them with the person who's developed it a lot, because now you're dealing with two that aren't going to be happy, right? The upper level performer will kind of get hampered by not as a challenging of a practice partner. Right. And the one that's a practice partner, the less skilled one, will constantly be comparing themselves to the older ones, and neither of them develops at their same level. So it's, you know, I found that when I found in the same groupings, I could try to figure out who had the best two skill levels, and I put those two together all the time. And everybody else seemed to match pretty well. You know, and you take the upper two and the lower two, and you put them together, and next thing you know, they don't feel very bad because nobody's seriously outperforming somebody else. And then they feel like they're getting developed and they don't feel like they're behind, you know, or they're being bored because somebody else is behind. So I found that to be true. I'm sure you've found very similar things to be true. Where do you see the biggest discrepancies in your junior golf camps in terms of, if you were to say, I've got a group that's out there from six-year-olds to nine-year-olds, what's the biggest disparity that you see and how do you filter so the kids are in the right group?
Think about that. I've got a question I want to ask too, but we don't have time to answer it here. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and follow us. Like us, please.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
You want to know how great a golf instructor Jeff Smith really is? Just go to jeffsmithgolfinstruction.com. Check out the information there. And we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. It is full-blown golf season, and you're out playing, and your wife's out playing, and the kids, what are the kids doing? Well, the kids got to get it together so they can be out playing too. We're talking about some junior golf camps with some junior golf teaching experts. Jeff Smith, of course, James Hong. Now, Jeff, you asked a question just prior. I'm sure James remembers what it was. So now you can answer it.
I think what happens in those circumstances, like you pointed out, is that the older kids get a little bit more self-conscious because they're a little bit more mature. They've developed a little bit further than the younger kids. And so what happens, they become a little bit more self-conscious with what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so they're more aware of the fact that, hey, there's a couple of kids there that are smaller than them or younger than them. And they start to wonder, why am I with them? I know I just had this issue with one mom who was contacting me about that the child thought that they were demoted for some reason because the kids around him looked like they were younger than him. And what I pointed out to her was that, no, they were actually similar ages. It's just that her son was about an inch and a half, 2 inches taller than them. But in terms of their skill level, they were actually very similar. And she kind of like laughed it off. She's like, no problem. I understand. He tends to get a little sensitive with stuff like that. And, you know, again, it was a child that's been in our program for a few years. So we could talk a little bit more casually about it. And she was letting me know that, yeah, she'll have a talk with him and just let him know that it wasn't a demotion of any kind. It was just, he just happened to see, all of a sudden he was seeing faces that he'd never seen before. So yeah. I think the older ones tend to get a little bit more self-conscious about stuff like that.
In a younger group, the quote unquote beginner groups and stuff, how do you handle kids who have been tutored by daddy already?
In my younger days, I would have, every time they said, like, well, did your dad say this? Or they would say, my dad told me this. I would say, well, your dad's wrong. No, that doesn't work.
No.
But you can't tell a child that their dad is bad. You yourself are not setting a good example as a teacher or a coach. So
what
I would normally say is, it's like, oh, I understand what your dad was saying. And that probably is really good if you were doing this. But I think for you, what you need to do a little bit more of is, and then kind of help them out with that. And then what I would do later on is I would go to the parents and explain to them, oh yeah, you know what, she or he was telling me that you told him to do this, and here's the reason why that's probably not the best idea. And again, the parents, 99% of the time, are appreciative of that and going like, they laugh and like, yeah, you know, I'm a 20 handicap. I don't, you know, why should my child listen to me? You're right.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I just didn't know what to say to my kid.
Right. Gotcha.
You know, I've been down this road a little bit too, you know, and I see some things, and every teacher is going to figure out the right way to handle the kids and the parents. When they're young kids, James's formula works so well. Parents are younger. The kids are younger. They see that. But, you know, I also see something when the kids are teenagers. They already have a chip on their shoulder about their parents telling them anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? They don't want to hear it from mom or dad anyway.
Right.
So I'll have a tendency to, you know, when the kid, I'm working with a teenager, and they're like, I'm like, where'd you hear that? They're like, yeah. I said, okay, I got it. So I'll tell you what, why don't we think of it this way? Here's what has to get done here. Do you think that in terms of getting this job done, that little bit of information was helpful or not? And now all I've done is not say, hey, dad's stupid, but I've reframed it so that they can think about it on their own, so they don't have to listen to dad's information.
So they can say dad's stupid. And it becomes their idea, not yours. I catch you.
Well, but the thing is that in and of itself is true, but but the point, I'm trying to get kids to think about things on their own.
Right.
And learn to problem solve themselves. Because if we can get these kids to think of things on their own and say, okay, if I have to get this done, is that a way that makes sense to go about it? Here's where it would put the club. This is what you're trying to do with the club. Do those things match up or not? And now all of a sudden, the kid is dismissing any outside source of information until they search out the answer themselves, and then they ask me.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden it puts them in control of learning instead of just hearing it from dad or a conflicting thing from me.
Right.
So that way they're sitting there searching for the answer to, is this how I want my club to come in and touch the ball? And if that's the case, then that piece of information you got is correct now, at this time, at this scenario. But other than that, it wouldn't be very helpful.
What about
I still am not slamming the parent, but I'm getting the kids to understand, hey, their job is to think. But that doesn't work so much with the little kids, because they're not thinking that way anyway.
I don't know how to think about thinking. But what about the other side of that coin? What about the parent who sends his kid in for lessons so he can vicariously get lessons?
That's fine. I get it. I know that there's no way around it.
Okay.
So I'll invite the parent in. And then what I'll do, and this is depends on how well I like the parents.
I catch it.
on how it comes out. You know, if they're nice and kind and they're trying to be helpful to their kid and all that, and I'll say, okay, so here's this scenario, right? Here's what we got to get done. We're going to move this club around us, back up, behind us, down, around, and through. We're going to come bashing into this golf ball. Where do we need this face to be? And then I'll just look at the kid, look at the parent, go, where do we need this face to be? And if it's there, then we're good shape. But what if it's not there? Now we got to do something different. Dad, what do you think that something different ought to be? And you know what happens with dad? He's got two choices. He's either going to say whatever comes in his mind, or he's going to sit there and go, So that way I got the dad to shut up.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it on purpose, but I mean, I did. I didn't say, hey, dad, shut up. I'm going to talk about it here. Right. I didn't do that. I gave him the choice of figuring it all out for himself and answering to either be that works, or maybe that's not the right thing where he gets to learn, but the kid gets to watch how his dad decided to handle that situation. And all of a sudden I see more parents pulling back and saying, no, you're the expert. And that way they took themselves out of the scenario altogether. Yeah. So they're learning, but now they no longer have to act like they're the expert when they just showed that they're not the expert in it, right in front of the kids. So everybody's learning.
Yeah, definitely. You ever show something to a parent so they can work with their child before the next lesson?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I'll say things along the lines of, hey, look, I know what's going to happen, right? You guys are around each other a whole lot more than you're around me. So when you work together, dad, I want you to check this thing and this thing only. This matters more than everything else that you could possibly see and possibly say, this thing right here. But if you're going to look at that, you have to look at it and stand in the right place. And then I'll look at the kid going, well, if they're not in the right place, they're trying to tell you where you're pointed. You got to ask them kindly to get in the right place so they can see it the correct way. And next thing you know, then the kid is helping the parent help them. And I've set them up for success that way.
Yeah. And they're both very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's all I do if I really like the parents.
Okay.
Yeah. I think too, what happens with parents is they want to help on every shot, every swing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what you did there. Because inherently parents don't want to see their kids not doing well. No. So they want to help out every possible way. And so sometimes just informing them and letting them know, hey, don't help them. Don't let them figure it out on their own. Goes a long way to them. Because, you know, sometimes the reason why the dad is blurting something out is because they're frustrated. They know they don't have the answer, but they're just trying to think of something so that their kid doesn't top the fourth ball in a row.
Right.
And then they remember that 1983 Golf Digest article they read. They're like, let's do this. Or, like their friends say, like, keep your head down. And so just by in educating them as well as the child that, You have to go through these periods of darkness, of bad shots to figure out what's going on. I mean, if we're in the gym and we're shooting baskets, we don't take a shot, airball it, and then sit down and go, oh, what did I do? No, we're like, give me the ball. We run after the ball, rebound it, and shoot again. It's like, give me the ball. It's like, I want that kind of happening. And, you know, I have this one kid that I teach who I remember in the lesson, I was telling him the same thing. It's like, he would hit a ball and he'd just stop. And it's like, sometimes he would look at me as if, what do I do next? Or what happened there? And I would just stare at him. I would just keep looking at him. And he would just be looking at me. And then he would kind of like stare at the TV and just kind of look around like this. And I would just finally say, what are you doing? And he was like, you're waiting for me to tell you what to do, aren't you? Or you're waiting for me to tell you what you did wrong, right? I'm not saying a word. Go get your ball. Do it again. He kept doing that, and his mom finally walked out from behind the counter and went over to the screen and started picking up the balls. And I said, no, he's got to do that, not you. No, that's not how it's done. He's got to figure it out. The mom was very appreciative. Yep, he's like that at home, too.
Let's talk equipment when we come right back, and we will come right back. We are those weekend golf guys. Don't you go away.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest.
The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
You know, those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith. James Hong is our guest. We're talking junior golf. I mean, it's time to start thinking about it. I'm sure most clubs, I know, James, you're already taking registrations for the summertime camps for your kids. And I'm sure that every other course is too. So you may want to check out. What do you guys think about the PGA, the Little League version of the PGA team stuff that they do for kids?
Oh, the Junior League?
Junior League. That was a word that escaped me. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty good. I guess it just depends on what club or what course is running it.
Mm-hmm.
Some places do a phenomenal job with it. And it's like they get tons of kids coming. And they have different leagues, different teams based on skill level, ability level, age groups. And other places, I think, are still trying to implement it. And, you know, sadly, unfortunately, I've heard of some places that actually stopped doing it because especially at private clubs, because their membership doesn't want to do it for some reason or whatnot. So I don't know if that's a reflection on what the membership wants, or if they felt like whoever was running the program at their club wasn't doing a good job with it, so they shut it down, whatever the case might be. But other than those rare situations, it seems to be thriving and they do a great job.
Just talking to parents in general, the parent wants the kid to learn how to play golf. The kid expresses an interest. And I would say that if your kid doesn't express an interest in learning how to play golf, don't push it. But the kid wants to play. Parent wants him to play. Parent is behind him learning how to play golf. Would you suggest that they hold off on buying any equipment until after they've gone through the program so they know what to get, sizes and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, I think if where they're learning has appropriate junior clubs for them to use,
mm-hmm.
during either the camps or during the lessons, then that's fine. I think even better is if you have the ability to rent or borrow the clubs, because if you go and you have those clubs during the class, but then you go home and you don't have anything to practice with.
Right.
So it would be helpful if you had something there. So I would think that's something that if the course that you're at has that ability to provide you clubs. Otherwise, yes, get clubs for your kids but not if they haven't done anything yet, because right. It's expensive. We all know that.
Yeah.
And so wait till they show interest in it and then go out and what's great about it, like for instance, I mentioned US Kids Clubs earlier, you don't have to get a full set. Maybe what you get is you get two clubs. You get a 7-iron and a wedge, or 7-iron and a putter, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of, you know, spoon feed them into it. So okay. Yeah, but definitely make sure you get clubs that are adequate for them. And what I mean by that is don't look at the side of the box and say, oh, this says it's for 12-year-olds. And right. Then you get it, because one 12-year-old and one 12-year-old, it doesn't fit them.
Yeah. And it's the same thing.
Get clubs that are sized for them.
Yeah, it's the same thing that we preach all the time. Get fit for your clubs. Don't go out half-cocked and just get golf clubs because it's in a pretty bag or the color of the driver is pretty or whatever.
Right.
Wait until you get some background in the game and then get what's right. Because no matter how inexpensive or expensive the clubs are, they're terribly expensive if you buy the wrong ones.
Exactly. Yep.
So don't do that.
Don't do it. No cut downs.
Yeah.
And please don't get clubs that you say like, oh, he'll be using them, she'll be using them for the next 3 years. They'll grow into it. No, they won't, because the clubs that you got them that are supposed to last for the next 2-3 years, like an oversized t-shirt, they're already too big and too heavy for them. And you, what you're doing is not only are you risking them learning incorrectly and picking up bad habits, but you're actually risking injury as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because kids, they're not fully developed, especially in their shoulders and their wrists. And those are two things that are out there moving this club around, smacking the club into a ball and into the ground. And they're trying to learn how to do it. And they're trying to learn how to do it in a way that's healthy. And, you know, we got to pay attention to that. So, you know, you wouldn't do that with, so I've done this with other parents, you know, you wouldn't do this with any other sport. So what I have in my junior golf repertoire when I have parents and they do what James just said, oh, we'll just get him a set of clubs that he'll grow into. And the first thing I said was, no, they won't. So I have a full size set of shoulder pads, a full size helmet, full size 11 football cleats. I have a heavy baseball bat and I have a full regular size basketball. And then I just throw it on the floor and say, here, kid, put these on and see how well you can perform.
Yeah.
And the kid realizes that that's a ridiculous thing to do. And the parents do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I've done this where I've just taken the flag stick and walked over to the parent. I said, swing it like a driver. And they laugh at me and they go like, oh, that's going to be really hard. And I said, well, try it. And they do it. And they go like, I said, how does it feel? That's exactly what your kid is feeling, swinging that driver that you just bought him from Dick's Sporting Goods that is like up to his nose.
Yeah.
And you thought that he or she was going to grow into it.
I mean, you got to come to terms if you want seriously to pursue the game and you starting at a young age, then, you know, buying clubs and selling clubs is going to be something you're going to be doing on a regular basis for a number of years.
Yeah.
The good news.
I just had this conversation with a boy and his father the day before yesterday, because he's 13 years old. And the dad was asking, should I get him another set of junior clubs? And I said, to be honest with you, I think his next set should be an adult set, because the next set of junior clubs is probably going to last him at most 6 months. And then he's going to go through his growth spurt again. And so you just wasted your money. So you might as well just get him a set, or an adult set, or wait a few months and then get him an adult set, get fitted for it. Mm-hmm. And that set's going to last him longer, because you're going to get him a nice set of clubs. It could be like Callaways or Pings or something like that, and they can constantly be adjusted for him over the next 3-4 years.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that there's always younger kids, smaller kids coming up behind you. So you buy a set today, next year your kid's outgrown it, but somebody's kid's going to be perfect for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just going to be a hassle, because you can't buy anything for longevity purposes for quite a while yet.
Yep.
You guys stock clubs for all the possible sizes and abilities. So you could say, here, this is perfect for you. Take this home and tell your dad and mom to go out and get you something like this.
Yeah. In fact, even for our camps, it's even on the registration form, it asks right there. It's like, do you need to borrow clubs? If you do, what's your height? Are you right-handed or left-handed, so we can provide the right set for you?
Cool.
And so it's on the onus of the parents to provide that information. And
right.
Even then, it's amazing how many parents don't know how tall their kids are.
Yeah.
and they don't provide the right information. And we have the clubs ready for them from day one. Like, this set even the one that we provided for you is not going to fit you. So, but we have plenty. And then we make sure everyone's got the right size.
Yeah. But, you know, a kid that may be, you know, 4'2 in April could be 4'8 in June, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without question.
Yeah.
I had one boy that I was teaching three growth spurts inside of 15 months.
Wow.
Three full sets of clubs he had to get.
Jeez.
Wow. Mm. Parents were irritated.
Yeah. That's when the parents start talking soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just it's a pair of shoes.
Yeah. And maybe a ball or two. Not a problem. Not a problem. But this is cool. I mean, James is very good at teaching kids. Jeff is very good at teaching kids. And I'm sure the PGA professional at your club or in your town somewhere, there's one that is very, very good at teaching kids. Find it. That's what I'd suggest you do. Find it. Is there any clearinghouse, any place you can go online or anything like that? Or is it just pick up the phone and ask somebody in town who's the best teacher for kids in my town? What would you suggest?
Yes, I think it's all of those. It's word of mouth, number one. And the other thing is there are a lot of places you can look. You can look on the U.S. Kids Golf website for certified instructors in the area. They list all of them. Operation 36, another great program for developing juniors. They have a whole list of instructors, certified instructors in the area. And I think even TPI, they have a junior golf coaching program as well. All of those three, you can look up instructors in your area wherever you are and see if there's anybody nearby that you can bring your kids to.
Very cool. Would you suggest bringing your kids by and just making sure that they mesh with the teacher?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. That's a good idea. But you take your kids out and get them some good lessons. Yeah, you really do, because if the kid doesn't like the teacher, they may love the game.
Game over, yeah.
Yeah, it's done. But anyhow, take your kid, get him the right equipment, get him the right lessons, get him the right attitude, and who knows? They may beat you the next time you go out and try to play some golf.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is here. It's Way Day. Right now, you can score up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar cards, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. All up to 80% off right now. Plus, everything ships free. And flash deals are launching all Way Day long. Don't miss Wayfair's biggest sale of the year. Shop Way Day right now from May 6th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.